Thanks for tuning in to the Next Level Church podcast. For more information, check out our website at nextlevelchurch.net.
Yo, you know you're getting legit when you get mentioned on the top three. Take that, T-Lane. They didn't do that for you. Nice. Well, welcome. I am Chris Bowen. Before I start, I have to say something real quick. I have to talk about our lead pastor here, Rob Shepherd. If this is your first time here, and you guys maybe you don't know him very well, or you don't follow him on Instagram, Rob is a guy who has a lot of passion. He's a wonderful person, and he always inspires me to have the passion that he has, whether it be through his like of horrible 90s Christian boy bands, or horrible basketball teams, whatever it is, he's very passionate about his beliefs and his things he likes. So I wanted to show that passion today, Rob, so I got a gift for you, if you just give me a second. I thought this was the most appropriate way I could show my passion for you, Rob, is to do what you do and put things that you like on t-shirts. Yeah. So yeah. Man, I planned this joke for like 2 weeks and it's been hilarious to me the entire time. Like, not once have I regretted doing this. Anyway, let's get into it. We've been talking about this sermon series. It says, I don't know everything, but one thing I do know. I love this series. It's so great because it lets us start with just the most foundational beliefs that we have. It lets us really hold on to something when times are tough, when things are difficult, and we're not sure who God is. Everything we've been talking about this month is just those little tiny things that we can know that God is. So this week, I want to talk about this. I don't know everything, but one thing I do know is God is community. I know this is kind of like grammatically incorrect here, and it might not make much sense, but I chose these words very specifically because I don't want us to get confused and think that community is something that we're like supposed to like or something that God hopes that we do. Community is part of God's DNA. It's who he is. God is community. To be close to God means you're in community. So I was so excited to speak on this topic because I want you guys to understand before I start that this isn't something that you like might want to do. This is something that in your relationship with Jesus, with your relationship with God, you have to do. Community is not an option. It is a demand to love God. So I want to prove this to you. I want to prove to you that God is community. So we're going to start with this story in the Old Testament, right in Genesis. Because God is community, and it's part of his DNA, and it's who he is, from the beginning, he's always gone for community. He's always tried to have community from the very beginning. So I want to show you how in the very beginning, the first book of the Bible, God is community. He was community then, he is community now. And I think these stories that we're going to talk about are going to prove it. So let's jump into it. If you have your Bibles or you're open the YouVersion app, it's Genesis 11, and we're going to start with verse 4. And it says, come, let us build ourselves a city and a tower with its tops to the heavens, and let us make a name for ourselves, lest we be dispersed over the face of the earth. And the Lord said, behold, they are one people, and they have one language, and this is the beginning of what they will do. And this is only the beginning of what they will do. Jump to the next slide. It's a few verses down. And it says, so the Lord dispersed them all over the earth. Now, if you read these verses and you heard what I just said about community, you're probably asking right now, Chris, you're not making a very good point. If God is community, and we just have the story of this group that is making a city and is trying to make community, why did God just destroy it? That's not proving that God is community. However, I want to show you that these people weren't building community, they were building something else. Community is more than just being together. There's another aspect to community there, and these people missed it. And so, this story right here that we're talking about in Genesis 11, it's called the Tower of Babel. If you've been to church for a long time, you've probably heard this story before. If you haven't, I'll give you a quick update. This Tower of Babel is really a story of God, where he gives languages to the world as one part of it, but it's just the story of pretty much exactly what I said. There was a tower, there was these people that tried to build a great city, and then God broke it up. So, this story isn't very might not be as well known, the story right before this in Genesis 10 is probably one of the best known stories ever, which is the story of Noah. I'm sure even if you haven't been interred, you've probably heard the story of Noah and the ark. And that happens right before this story of the Tower of Babel. And one thing that we see with the Tower of Babel is right before in chapter 10, there's this mention of this guy, Nimrod. Now, Nimrod, it says in the Bible, was a great hunter before the Lord. And that line in English gets a little mistranslated from the original translation of the Bible. Because the Bible wasn't written in English. English didn't exist thousands of years ago. So they spoke a different language, and this language, Hebrew, it's written, these words they used could mean multiple things. So the word hunter can really be translated to tyrant. And the word before can be translated to against. So Nimrod is the leader of these people in this place called Babel, and I think the proper words to use there would be Nimrod is a tyrant against God. So what we're seeing, so now we go back to the story and we have these people trying to make a great name for themselves, trying to build a big city, trying to bless everything that they affect. But what we're seeing is they're not doing it with God, they're doing it against God. And what's happening here at Babel is Nimrod, descendant of Noah, seeing what God did to his ancestors, is fearful of what has happened to in the world in the past. And instead of joining with God in community, he's saying, I don't want to go through what these people went through. I don't want to go through a massive flood. I don't want God to be able to judge my actions. So this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to gather my people around, and we're going to build a city on a hill with a great tower so God can't judge us like he judged them. So what we're really seeing here is not community at all. What we're seeing is that Nimrod and these people are building isolation from God. And God hates isolation because God is community. It's his DNA. So when you read the story and you see that God disperses these people out and gives them different language, he's not breaking up a community. He's breaking up a people that are in isolation. Because if you hear those words that he said, this is only the beginning of what they will do. And he's not talking about the great and wonderful things they will do. He's talking about this is only the beginning of the isolation they will create. And they're going to move farther and farther and farther away from me until there's nothing left. And in order to stop isolation and the love that God has for people and the love that he has for everyone, he breaks up isolation and gives them a chance to build community again. Because that's how much God loves community. He hates isolation because it pushes you away from him. Because community requires God. If it's in his DNA, if it's part of who he is, if God is community, then we can't have community without him. I love this quote from Pope Benedict. And yes, I am quoting a Catholic, but trust me, this is part of God being community, y'all. It's going to be okay. I love it. It says, without God, man neither knows which way to go, nor even understands who he is. One of the deepest forms of poverty a person can experience is isolation. It is not by isolation that man establishes his worth, but by placing himself in relation with others and with God. Others and God require community. Otherwise, we're isolating ourselves. And a cool thing about the Bible is a lot of the writers, a writing style in the Bible is they write in a lot of parallels. So you'll see a story where it's look at all these people who are going against God, and then the next chapter it'll be look at all these people that are agreeing with God. It's throughout the entire Bible. It really helps us see the comparison of people who live for God and people who don't. But it's also just the writing style that they kind of wrote in. So very just coincidentally, the next chapter in Genesis, chapter 12, talks about the call of this one man. And let's go to those verses right now. It's 12, 1 and 2. And it says, now the Lord said to Abram, go from your country and your kindred and your father's house to the land that I will show you. And I will make you a great nation. And I will bless you. And I will make your name great so that you will be a blessing. So you're not cheering as loudly as I was hoping there. But what that is right there is that's God's call to community. And I love there's a comparison right here with these people, with the people in the Tower of Babel. What we're seeing side by side is that God freely gives community. And this man, whose name is Abram, who we don't know anything about, who doesn't have any special powers, hasn't done anything amazing, God says, I'm going to give you three things. I'm going to give you a place, I'm going to give you a people, and I'm going to make you a blessing. The three things that the people in the Tower of Babel were, we're going to make ourselves a place, we're going to take our people, and we're trying to be a blessing to ourselves. The three things that they were trying to make are the three things that God freely gives. Because God gives community to his people. There's nothing that we have to do to give it. God just wants to give it to you. T. Lane said something awesome last week. He said, I love you because I love you. I thought that was a great point he made, and this is so true. God gives us community because he wants community. We didn't do anything to deserve it. He just wants community in the world, and he builds community in his people. And so so when we try to build our community ourselves, he breaks it up and gives us another chance. And when we're just sitting there, he's constantly calling us to community. It's an aspect of who God is. It's his DNA. Now, this is a little hard to kind of work into our own lives because, I don't know about you, but I'm not looking at like Newport News and be like, I'm going to establish a great city. I'm Chris Bowen, first of my name. And my land will spread as far as the eye can see. That's not kind of how we work community today. But community today is done differently. It's done in church. It's done in work. It's done in school. And it's done in making connections. And the best way I can show this to you is to talk to you about Portugal. And Portugal has everything to do with community right now because they are doing something incredible that no one really thinks about, no one even knows about. And probably you're wondering, why the heck am I talking about Portugal right now? So Portugal is a really small country next to Spain and Europe. Have about 10 million people, a little more than that. And back in 2000, Portugal had one of the biggest problems that a country can have. They had a crazy high addiction rate to heroin. Almost 1% of their country was addicted. And so Portugal starts making moves to stop this addiction. They have this really intense war on drugs where they're like really strict on their borders, they're making lots of laws, they're throwing people in prisons for tens and tens of years if you get caught even one time, and they're doing everything they can to end the drug addiction of heroin in their country. And it's not working. And it's getting worse and worse and worse. So in the plea of desperation, all of the leaders of the country get together, and they bring in some psychologists, and they bring in people who deal with drug addiction, and they go, help us end this issue. We don't know what to do. Our laws aren't working. It's getting worse. What can we do? So these psychologists get together, and they start talking, and they start doing some studies, and they start looking at some other studies, and they start making some realization about what the country's doing that's really unique. And they say, you know, when we're throwing people in jail and when we're finding them tons of money and when we're blackballing them from society, we're just building isolation between them and the community. And they said, and so they start realizing, you know, the further we push them out, they keep going, the less likely they are to come back. And they started understanding the human mind differently and started understanding, you know, humans need to make connections. And they started looking at these studies that people will make connections with anything. If there's a connection to make, people are going to try to make a connection, even if that connection's bad. They looked at this study from the University of Virginia. A man, one of the professors was running the study on boredom and realized when you put people in a room and they're bored, they'll do anything just to get out of the state of just being isolated and being bored, even to the point where he put shock collars around people's necks and he had people sitting there hitting a button because they'd rather shock themselves and be in pain than sit in boredom. And they looked at all these studies, and they looked at these ideas on drugs, and they said, we're not giving people a way to join community. We're giving them a way to be more isolated. So the psychologists come back, and the governors and leaders say, what do you have for us? And they say some drastic things. They say, decriminalize all drugs. Stop making it a punishment to use drugs. If you catch someone with drugs, put them in counseling. Make them do group counseling. Find them a job. The government now pays half of the salary of people who are caught with drugs just to get them to go to work, and so businesses don't have to take the burden of working with a drug addict. And they do these things for one reason. They say, if we do all of these things, hopefully they can make a connection. And it just takes one connection to pull them out. It's all it takes. Is just it, maybe the psychotherapy stuff will help. Maybe the group being in small groups with other people will help. Maybe just getting a job. Maybe connecting with their families, finding a place to live. But the government does everything they do to find these people and get them connected back in the community and not isolate them. And an incredible thing happened. The heroin rate plummeted. It just dropped off the face of the earth. I know, incredible. No, that's a great thing to clap for. And I'm not here to say, let's decriminalize all drugs. I'm not here to say to push a political issue. I'm here to say that humans need community. And when we get community, we're more effective. We're better people. We're following the plan that God has for us. And it just takes something very simple to be in community with others. It just takes one connection. So we have this room of people here. And right now, some of you guys have been coming here for a long time. Maybe it's your first time ever. And some of the connection you have with other people might be that you're just staring at me. That could be your only connection. But if we're following what God has for us and what we see in these Bible verses, what we see is that God wants us to be in community with others. And when we build community around us and with the people near us, we're getting closer to God. So I normally speak to youth, so as you see, I've only spoke for like 15 minutes. That's because to get attention span of a 14-year-old child for 15 minutes is a miracle. But I want to just talk about our application right now and kind of wrap up because we have a lot of time left and we're going to worship and do a few things, but I really want this time after the service to build community. Because sometimes it's really easy to come into this building. We're planned to about the minute, so when we're done, it's easy just to run out because the next group's got to come in, and there's tons of things you got to set up, and you got your kids, and the open's on today. I get it. There's a lot of stuff going on. But I want to give us some time to build community. I want to give us just a moment to build community with each other because our application of today is to stop building isolation and to start building community. So as we're here today, maybe there's someone sitting next to you don't know. Maybe this is your first time. Maybe you've been here forever and you know everyone. But build your community a little bigger. And that might require you to take a step of faith. Maybe you have to leap out. You have to invite someone to lunch. You have to talk to them. You have to share your name. Very scary things to do, I know. But if God is community, if this is his DNA, if this call of Abram at the beginning that we saw is what God wants. He just wants to give it to us. He just wants to make our name great. He wants to give us a place. He wants to make us a blessing to the world. Then we have to do this. We have to connect as a church. And then we have to go out and connect with our community. And as our community, we have to connect with our country. And as our country, we have to connect with the world. It's not an option here. This is what we're called to do. Yeah, clap for that. So, I'm going to call the band back up. I'm going to pray real quick, and we're going to sing a song. But I encourage you, don't just run out of the building. Don't just walk away. Try to build community before you leave. Even if it's with one person, even if you just find someone's name out, go that second mile and just introduce yourself and try to build community here. So let's just bow our heads, and we'll pray real quick. So, God, I just thank you for who you are. I thank you that you've given us a wonderful gift of community, and you've put people here in this building that we can connect to. Even though it's difficult, Lord, even though it might not be our favorite thing to do, let us take the step and give us the courage that we can just go out and make our community a little bigger today. We love you, God. We thank you for what you've done. We ask you to bless us as we come back next week. In your name we pray. Amen.
We hope you've enjoyed and learned from today's podcast. If you'd like to connect with us further, you can check out our website at nextlevelchurch.net or find us on Facebook or Twitter.